Okay, this hour we have Leslie Nielsen, the great actor.
The Naked Gun guy.
Woo! Yeah, with the silver hair. You remember him.
Everybody knows Leslie Nielsen.
Of course, also we'll be talking to Darlene live from Crufts. Hi, it's Animal Radio. Who's this?
It's Nita. My name is Juanita, but you can call me Nita.
Nita. Where are you calling from?
In L.A.
In L.A. Listening on coast?
Yeah.
What is your question?
Yeah, this is regarding my dog. He's about 4 years old. When you meet another dog, or a small dog, big dog, she gets crazy and she's so excited, you know? Oh my God, it's terrible. I don't know what to do.
What, he gets all excited when he sees other dogs?
Yes. I don't know if she's going to fight, or I don't know.
Well, what do you mean you don't know if they're going to fight?
I don't know if she's going to fight, because he's so excited. Oh my God, killing me, and... Oh, I don't know what to do.
What do you do right now? Do you hold on to him?
Yeah, when I walk every morning, I try to hold, and then I just use the choker. She's listening, but okay. I have a stick with me.
A stick?
Yeah, because I'm not going to hit her, you know. But because I can't hold her, because it's a big dog.
Yeah, yeah. What's your name?
Lucky.
Okay. Well, what do you think about Lucky, Judy?
Is Lucky an only dog?
Yeah, that is my second dog. He's my second dog.
But you don't have any other dogs right now, just Lucky?
Yeah, my other dog died, and then actually Lucky is a homeless dog, 6 months old, and we got her.
You know what? I think Lucky is actually lonely. Dogs are pack animals. They like to be around their own kind, and they love to be a part of a group. And if Lucky is not around other dogs at all during the day, when Lucky sees a dog, she goes crazy. What you need to do is to socialize her with other dogs. I don't know if you have any friends that can bring their dogs over and let her play with it, or if you can take her to a dog park where she can be around other dogs. And I think the more you expose her to other dogs, she will get used to it and won't be so excited when she knows she's going to be around other dogs.
It's like, could you imagine if, for instance, you were never around a guy, and then all of a sudden you saw a guy and how excited you got?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, it would be sort of like that.
Yeah.
Make sure whenever you bring her around another dog, you have her on a leash and have control, because you don't know what she's going to do.
Or the other dog.
Yes.
Oh. She used to play with my neighbors. The thing is, when she had an accident, it was a year ago.
What kind of accident?
She hit by a car.
Oh, no.
With her two front legs.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
So she almost lost her legs.
Mm.
So that's the reason why I just, you know, don't let her, you know, go out with another dog. You know, I'm so just careful right now.
Well, you want to make sure that you have her on a leash and the other dog is on a leash, and let them slowly approach each other, let them sniff each other, and she just may be very happy just to be around another dog and to spend time. But make sure... Yeah, just make sure you have her on a leash and under control, because you don't know how she's going to react. And if they start, if they growl at each other or start baring their teeth, then you want to back off and separate them. So make sure the other dog's on a leash too.
Yes, that's true. Because when I walk to the hill and there's a small dog, my God, she's so upset with that small dog, and the small dog too is so upset. That's why.
Well, we wish you the best of luck, and you know what we're going to do? We're going to send you, we're going to send Lucky a special package of dog toys and dog stuff, okay?
Oh, thank you.
Hold on a second.
This is Animal Radio
Network.
Wow, you don't sound like Dr. Ernie Ward, are you?
No, I'm not at all. I got him.
You have him. Are you Dr. Ernie Ward's official associate?
I'm his official assistant today.
Okay, good.
Hooking him up with you guys.
Good. What's your name?
This is Debbie.
Okay, Debbie.
All right, let me let him know that you all are ready, and I'll have you transferred in just a moment.
Okay.
I need an official assistant like that.
Good luck.
Maybe you could be my official assistant.
Don't look at me.
You can make all my calls.
No,
yeah,
you can
you
be
could.
My
Hi,
assistant.
This is Judy. I'm calling on behalf of Hal Abrams.
You'd be Judy, Hal, you're on with Dr. Ward.
Dr. Ward, Ernie Ward, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing great, Hal. Thanks for having me.
Hi, Hi, Dr. Ward. This is Judy.
Hi, Judy.
You are, where are we calling you?
I'm in North Carolina.
And you are the Chief of Staff of Seaside Animal Care.
You got it.
A National Practice of Excellence Award winner and an Educational Advisory Board member of Veterinary Economics, the author of Creating the Veterinary Experience, Developing Effective Staff Communications. I just read that all
wow.
for the first time.
Yeah, amongst all some other things.
Well-versed, but we're talking to you today because as technology comes along and more medicines become available and more research goes on to what medicines can be used for animals, we find that there's a large occurrence of what's called ADE. And what does that stand for, Doctor?
Yeah, that's adverse drug experience. And first of all, I want to say what you guys are doing is fantastic. I got to hear your show up in Madison here a while back. I was doing their state veterinary meeting there, and you guys are doing a fantastic job. I really applaud your efforts.
Thank you.
Thank you very much on WTDY. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. And so when we look at these ADEs in pets, first and foremost, I want to assure your listeners that this is an extreme minority. And while the numbers are certainly growing, that's because we're having more pets that are using medication. So that's kind of, you're always going to get this, and I don't want to ever be guilty of throwing the baby out with the bathwater, but because these drugs are saving lives on a daily basis.
Yeah, it's really only about 1% that are affected,
less
right?
Less than 1%. You got
really?
It. So I want to make sure people do that. Now, the truth is, Judy and Hal, you don't care what the percentage is if you're it. You know?
That's right. That's,
and so my goal is to educate veterinarians and pet owners to help prevent these things. And the steps they can take are very simple. I mean, it really just means looking at the overall health of the pet. And the easiest thing you can do, of course, is have your pet examined by your veterinarian. But prior to using some of these prescription drugs, and we're talking about the same things on the human side, we're talking about arthritic pain medications, we're talking about heart medications, hypertension medications, epilepsy, and so forth. Before you use these drugs, make sure it's safe to do that. I personally wouldn't take a drug if my doctor wanted me to go on it for the rest of my life until I knew it was safe to use. And part of that means, can your body metabolize and excrete it? So we're looking at the liver and kidney. So for me as a doctor, I don't prescribe these medications until I know it's safe to do so. And then periodically, generally every 6 months, we're going to be looking at these liver and kidney function tests and make sure that we're not developing a problem. Because the good news with drug events is this. If you catch it early enough, you stop taking the drug, the problem goes away. And I think people need to really understand that it's not just you take it one time and boom, everything's all over. That's not how these things work in the normal sense. What happens is it's cumulative. You're using it for years and years and years, and if you're not playing by the rules, you're going to get burned. And so when it comes to pets, it comes to people, you've got to make sure you're working with your physician, with your veterinarian, to make sure you're using it in as safe a manner as possible.
You see, with humans, you have side effects, and we can easily say, okay, we have side effects with this drug and tell our doctor that we have problems. But with pets, of course, they have no voice to say that. We
yeah,
have to
the
be their voice.
It's a whole language thing, isn't it? You know, they can't tell us they've got a problem. So now our job gets even more difficult, more challenging, because the kitty cat, instead of saying, hey, you know what, Judy, I'm feeling lousy today. Can I take the day off? Why don't you take yourself to the doctor? You can't do that. They're going to hide under your couch. They're going to hide under your bed. And then often we can say, well, maybe they got spooked last night. Maybe they were nervous. But if you're giving a drug, if your pet has a pre-existing condition, it's time for you to call your veterinarian and say, is this something I should be concerned about? The obvious signs, of course, are going to be vomiting, diarrhea. They stop eating their food. They don't want to walk around the house. They seem sore. Those are obvious signs. I mean, their eyes turn yellow, which is called icterus or jaundice.
Oh, wow.
That's bad things have already happened. You, as a pet owner, have got to say, hey, you know what, these little subtle signs? That could mean a serious or significant problem. You want to act sooner than later. And Judy and Hal, one of the things for your listeners, I want to make sure they understand, trust your gut. You know your pet better than anybody else, better
That's
than
true.
Me as your doctor, better than your veterinarian, better. You know your health better than your own physician. If you feel something isn't right, that's the time to act. Too many times I have these clients come in and, you know, the wife comes and she says, I knew something was wrong 2 weeks ago, and it's really bad, but my husband said there was nothing wrong with the dog. That's frustrating because, you know, that two-week time period, everything could change.
Yes. I've been in that situation before, too, and I've sat back when I should have acted sooner. I'm sure everybody has done that at one time or another.
Are there any particular drugs by name that we should be looking out for, or is this just any prescription?
Well, again, the truth is almost all the prescription medications your drug is going to use are safe regardless of age, breed, or sex. So, I mean, we've got great systems in place. In fact, one of the things, particularly your listeners want to listen out to this, do you realize that the acting director now of the FDA, you know, we're trying to get a new one because we've had a lot of problems, he's a veterinarian. Dr. Lester Crawford
really?
Is from my alma mater of University of Georgia. Now, I like Wisconsin. Don't get me wrong. It's a great school. I've spoken up there several times. But, you know, maybe, you know, a veterinarian, we don't realize the impact they have on drugs, and now the head of the FDA may be this, be a veterinarian. So the point is, these drugs are very, very safe. But if you're going to take anything, this is for yourself, this is for your pet, just do your homework, do your due diligence. Simple blood and urine tests can ensure that you use these things safely.
And that's something your veterinarian would do.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell the owners out there that are listening, you've got to take responsibility for your health of your pet, period. You've got to take it for yourself. Don't assume that your veterinarian or your physician is doing everything they can for you. They're busy. They've got 1,000 patients. Whatever the excuse is, I'm not saying I like excuses, but I'm saying also say, are we doing everything we can? Is there something else I should do? I want my clients to challenge me. They should come in and say, hey, I read about this. I heard about this. What do you think about this? And if you don't get the right answer from your physician or your veterinarian, maybe it's time to seek another one. And I'm very, very upfront about that.
You know, I've done that with my veterinarian off and on, and they seem very offended and seem that, you know, I shouldn't be coming to them and trying to give them advice.
I think we're beyond that. And again, you know, it depends on communication styles. I mean, I certainly don't mean people should come in a threatening manner and say, I read you're doing the wrong thing. But, you know, we've got to engage in a bilateral dialogue here. We're saying, look, you know, I want to do the best for my pet. What can you as a veterinary professional do to help me accomplish my goal? And I think if you don't have that kind of caring, engaging relationship, you know, there are plenty of veterinarians out there. And Judy, I hear you. I feel you, because when we look back at historically how medicine has been practiced in this country, it has been more of this mystical thing. You know, your doctor would come in and say, oh, I'm going to give you a medication that's going to make you better. They didn't involve the patient. And so some of those attributes carried over to veterinary medicine. I'm telling you that today's veterinarian, we have to be better listeners than anything else. And that's my goal, is to say, what is it that I can do to help, and really be listening and teasing out that information I need.
Well, can I get you to move here to Utah to take care of my pets?
You guys are in Utah, right?
Yeah.
There's some great cycling out there, but no, I'm pretty happy here in North Carolina.
I can understand that. Dr. Ward, thanks so much for taking time to visit with us today. We appreciate it. Website we can go to or anything we should know about?
You know, the best source of information is your veterinarian. The only thing I would recommend if you want to go on the web is the FDA's site, FDA.gov. We've got a whole, you know, section devoted to veterinary medicine. That's a good resource. But, you know, talk to your veterinarian. And again, if you're not getting the answers you want, this is an investment in your life and your pet's health. So make sure it's a comfortable one.
These are our children.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Dr. Ernie Ward, thanks so much for being on Animal Radio today.
Hey, keep up the good work, guys. I'm really, really proud of what you guys are doing as a veterinarian.
Thanks.
There's more Animal Radio Network around the corner. Stick around.
You're listening to Animal Radio. You can learn more about today's guest at animalradio.com. Log on. Learn more.
Is it time for Leslie Nielsen yet?
No, he's coming up. I know the suspense is killing you. Hey. I know my job is on the line, but yes, he's coming up.
Why, is there any doubt that he might not be on the show today? We've been talking and teasing.
Do I sound doubtful?
No.
No, I sound very positive. Okay.
Send those resumes to...
Yes, because I'll be looking for a new co-host.
Looking for a co-host? I thought it was the Judy
Hi, Mark.
Show.
Hi, this is Judy.
All Judy.
Hi.
All
you ready to
time.
Do this?
Hi, Mark. How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
Do you have... you're going through a kind of a tougher deal right now. Something that I've gone through before. Many of us have gone through, and it's tough because... Yeah, panic. It's hard to think straight, but you've lost your dog.
Right.
And, first of all, let's get this out of the way. What are we looking for? Where are we looking for it?
It's a female beagle, tricolored, black on the top, tan, and then a white underbelly and legs. She's about 24 pounds, and her name is Nikki, with a K, N-I-K-K-I, and she's been missing for a week now.
Oh, how old is Nikki?
4 years old. She looks younger, but she's 4 years old.
And since we are nationwide, what city are we talking about?
Sorry, Los Angeles, yes.
Los Angeles. So if you're a coast listener, listen up. We're looking for a beagle, tricolor, under the belly especially. Been missing for a week. Nikki spelled with two Ks, although I don't know that the dog would differentiate that.
Well, I only say that because the website, if they want to go to that, is findnikkila.com.
You put up this website within the last couple of days. Is it something that you've put up, or did you hire a service to do that? It seems like so that's fairly fast that you've done that.
No, I put that up, and when someone goes to it, they'll be able to tell that.
Okay, so, well, you didn't probably think about aesthetics as much as finding your animal. What kind of things have you done so far? Because I understand Judy's told me you've used a lot of diversity in tactics so far and strategy.
I've been lucky to be fairly well connected through what I do, which is publicity and public relations, to have some contacts and friends and friends and friends of contacts in the media. And, you know, there were some angles to this story that made it appealing to the media. And so I've been fortunate to be able to get some television time with photos of Nikki on and some radio time and this as well. And hopefully some print stuff as well.
What kind of feelings are going through your body now? Obviously, you're probably very depressed, as I was and would be if I had lost another animal, because they become close to you. They become family members to you.
No, Nikki is a family member to me because I'm single and living here in Los Angeles, so she is my family. My family, my extended family is back east. And so, you know, right now what I'm feeling is almost a sense of certainly discouragement, because it's very hard to get to a point where you haven't heard anything from anyone after a number of days and after a lot of effort. And I'm fortunate in the kind of work I do that I could take some time away so I could devote a lot of time. Not everyone is that fortunate to be able to do that.
Right.
And I've been able to, you know, to have people posting flyers, some in Spanish, in Latino areas, and in English in other areas all over town. And I'm even going through some of the churches to get them posting in their Sunday bulletins and posted flyers and hand them out at their churches, because if this is Latino, then, you know, it's a heavily Catholic population. So that's an important avenue for that community, as there are for other communities. But because I also believe that Nikki was probably transported from where I lost her, mm-hmm. that opens up the whole city and makes it very, 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 very difficult.
Right, you're not looking in just one small area.
Exactly.
Now.
She didn't just wander off, and I say, okay, I'll circle a map in a radius of 2 miles and go door to door if I have to.
Are you using any books or resources to help you with this search? Because it really does sound like you're using every avenue possible and you're really thinking this out.
No, I'm actually not, and you're probably giving me far more credit than I deserve. It is sort of a, if you can keep your head about you, because it's very emotional at first, and if you can keep your head about you and say, okay, you know, I'm going to make this happen, then you start to think logically about, okay, what's the best way? And, you know, and then, of course, I did, the first thing is you look at the shelters, which is a given, but, you know, you even get different stories about, well, are the shelters reliable in checking for a chip and scanning for a chip? How long does it take for them to process them? If you go to the shelters, and by the way, they've all been great here, but sometimes if you go to shelters, the pride in their work, of course we scan them right away.
Nikki has a chip, is that correct?
Nikki has a chip.
Okay.
And Nikki also had tags and a collar, and on her, one of her tags was my name and my phone number and a reward. Because, you know, I'm willing to offer a significant reward for her return with no questions asked. This is not about pointing a finger. This is not about any kind of retribution. This
of
is
course
about
not.
Getting
yes,
her back. And I just want, you know, the people in Los Angeles to know who listen to this, that if they see her, they've seen a flyer, if they go to findnikkila.com and they see her, that, you know, there's a significant reward, and I'm not interested in pointing a finger.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know some of the things that you can do, which you have been doing. You have done the signs, you know, the reward for the, you know, your lost dog. There is a website called lostapet.org, which has some great information if you lose your pet. It has actually some samples you can see. It shows like a fluorescent poster board that you might want to put up, which gets a lot more attention than if you just put up an 8.5 by 11 paper.
There's a lot of books and websites
there's
out there that can assist somebody. Uh-huh. When it happens, though, is not the time to be looking at these websites. So I'm encouraging listeners right now to take a look at these websites, take a look at these books. Now make a plan that will cover you should the unlikely event that your pet gets lost or becomes missing.
That's a great idea.
And have you placed an ad in the paper?
I actually placed an ad that will be running this week.
Okay, that's
this
what
weekend.
Okay, I wanted to mention to anyone out there, if you find a dog, what happens is if people find a dog, if they go first thing to their paper and they don't see anything and they think, okay, well, nobody's actually looking for this dog, what they don't realize is the dog that they found may have just been lost and there hasn't been time to place an ad. And that takes a few days. So if you do find a dog out there, check the paper when you find it, but also check back in a couple days. Give it a chance to hit the newspapers as well.
And one thing that does not particularly apply to Mark's case, if it's a cat, a cat situation is a little bit different in that you don't want to spend a lot of time posting flyers because the cat may be very local, right nearby, within a tree, or under a tree, under a bush. And you may actually be reaching further than you need to. Not a situation with dogs. Mark, we wish you the best of luck. Again, the website is findnickyla.com, and the reason that two Ks are important is because of the website. We've learned that now. We're talking about a beagle tricolor underneath in the belly, been lost about a week in the Los Angeles area. There is a reward. If you know anything about this dog, you can head on over to animalradio.com and get all the information to get in touch with Mark, and we wish you the best of luck.
If I may add one more thing?
Yes.
That'd be all right?
Yes.
I just think it's important to mention to people because they may think, you know, I don't know how I can be of help unless I see the dog walking around. I think it's very important for people to realize to look around and see if someone has a dog in this case who didn't have a dog yesterday. If someone is now walking a dog or there's a neighborhood that they didn't have one yesterday, that's not an indictment of everyone who gets a new dog.
Well, that suggests foul play.
But it's certainly, and it does, and there may be, but not necessarily foul play, but it may be someone finds a dog and doesn't bother to take it to a shelter.
Uh-huh.
Or try to find.
Or they look in the newspaper, they don't see anything yet, and they figure it's an animal that's up for grabs and
right.
doesn't
belong. And everybody who's lost a pet is heartbroken, and well, probably many people, I won't say everybody, but they may well be heartbroken, and families and children involved, and you know they count on people to be decent and compassionate and return the dog, or at least make a good effort to try to find, in my case, the dog.
Mm-hmm.
So I only say that everybody can help by looking around, and if they notice something, you know, that they didn't see before, or if they have a hint of something, call a shelter or tell someone, or just reach out and let someone know somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Because the shelters, if someone has lost a pet, the very first thing they should do, of course, is let the shelters know. So a shelter or a vet is an excellent resource for someone who suspects something might not be right. And I know that I'm counting very heavily on as many eyes as possible and not just someone who happens to pick it up.
Mm-hmm. Well, please keep us posted
please,
and let
Mark.
Us know what happens, Mark. We're going to go back to the phones in just a couple of minutes, 1-866-405-8405. There's more Animal Radio on the way.
Did you know that cloning your beloved pet doesn't mean you'll get two furry friends? In fact, chances of successfully cloning your pet is 0.04%. And if it worked, chances are your new friend would have cloning-related health problems. The cloning industry wants you to believe that for $50,000, you can duplicate your pet. Who's duping who? Don't be duped. Don't clone. Learn more at www.nopetcloning.org.
You're listening to Animal Radio. You can learn more about today's guest at animalradio.com. Log on. Learn more.
Is he on the phone? Do we have him on the phone? I can't wait. Is he on the phone? Just tell me.
Is he on the phone? I promise you, he is.
Hey, Leslie. Leslie Nielsen, the great actor. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very good, thank you.
Oh,
it's nice of you to ask.
You are, we found out, in Arizona. Do you live there or do you have a vacation house there?
No. Well, this is where we live now.
Smart.
In Arizona.
Out of L.A.
Got out of the...
We left L.A. Maybe 5 years ago.
What a cluster that was, huh?
It's just getting... you know, L.A. is a marvelous city.
But
it's just not my style. I come from close to the Arctic Circle, and...
That's right, you're Canadian, huh?
Yeah, well I'm a U.S. citizen for longer than I've been... longer than the time I spent in Canada.
Well, how far north up there were you there?
Place called Fort Norman.
Wow.
Which is just shade south of the Arctic Circle.
Wow, that's...
And you were born there?
I was born in Regina and went as a babe in arms. We had to go by a launch or ship or whatever they call it, up the Mackenzie River after the ice had melted to get to Fort Norman.
Wow.
No highways or planes in those days.
No, I guess not.
I guess I let it slip out. Now you know how old I am.
Well, you know what? You're one of those people that never ages anyway. You're like Dick Clark. You look as the same that you looked 10 years ago, 15 years ago.
20 years ago.
And the comedic talents and comedic presence that you have is still outstanding. And now we're going to find out that you actually have a soft, warm, fuzzy animal side.
That indeed, well, of course, that animal side was always there, even up north, because the only way you got around was by a dog sled.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So what do you think of the Iditarod?
Well, I don't think about it too often. But I think it's fabulous, and I think that competition is fabulous. I've attended there myself several years back, and, you know, some of those it's just remarkable what those animals can do, and the power that they can generate, and how incredibly disciplined they can be. One thing I never knew, incidentally, is that my older brother asked me one time, I was at the trading post at Fort Norman, and he said, do you remember when the sled dogs, the huskies, attacked you?
Yeah.
And I said, well, no, and of course I didn't. And he says, and then I found out that if you get too close to where the dogs are tied up and you're not anybody that they recognize, and certainly if you're a little boy and you look like a very good morsel and they're hungry, and that's right. And he actually said, well, the Mr. So-and-so, I forget what his name was, McGregor or something, came out of the trading post and he beat the dogs up because they were after me. And fortunately, I was bundled up in a fur jackets and pants, and they, you know, just couldn't get to me, and I have no real knowledge of it.
Well, you must have repressed that.
I certainly did. I was very repressive.
Yeah.
And depressive.
Well, now, do you have pets at home?
I'm sorry?
Do you have pets at home right now?
I'm at home?
No, do you have pets at home? Do you have pets?
No, I don't. I've always had dogs through the years, and about, I guess, 10, well, even in L.A. before I got here, we didn't have dogs any longer, but we did have cats. I love cats. Love dogs, but I love cats, too.
So you're a speciesist, huh?
That's it.
Why do you like the cat so much?
I don't know what it is. It's something, you know, how can I put it? It's more of a game of understanding for me. This is how I like to look at it. You know, if you go for a walk and your cat follows you, you have to be careful not to move too fast ahead.
Yes.
Because, you know, cats don't want to move that quickly when they're out strolling. But if the cat comes along, he won't do that unless he loves you.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you like the snobby attitude they have sometimes?
Oh, well, yeah. Cats I've had to fight them off. You know, they get up there, a good tomcat, he gets up there, so he's purring in your nose, practically, and you can see your droplets of water coming out of his nose, and he's, come on, get over, move over, get over there.
They start drooling, yes.
That's well, it, yeah, yeah.
Since you have no pets, we're going to send over a dozen kittens.
I have nothing here, because we can't, we travel too much.
Yeah.
And I just don't like the idea of having somebody come to babysit a dog. You know, if I was going to do it, I'd probably have a dog.
Yeah.
I went through all of that hassle when I was back in L.A. And it was a problem to put the dog in a kennel every time you had to go someplace.
You travel a lot. You do a lot of movies and such, and you don't have...
Yeah, that too. Well, you know, I just got back from Ireland.
Ireland?
Dear old Green Ireland, yes, yeah. Over there with the leprechaun.
What, were you doing a gig over there?
I'm now an honorary member of the Law Society and from the Dublin University, and I went over to be the chairman at a debate about, were the 1990s as good as the 80s or as good as the 2010s are coming up, which we're in now, so...
Now, did you take your whoopee cushion with you?
Of course.
What
I never travel anywhere alone.
Well, now you bring a whoopee cushion wherever you go. I don't admit that I do that.
You don't admit it?
Well, no, because it's for my, you know, it's.
But you do?
Yes.
You're running around keeping it a secret, so you're establishing cover. Is that what you're doing?
Apparently not anymore.
I just blew his cover.
Yes.
I think yours too.
The thing is, it's amazing because it does, and I have one right here. Sitting right here in front of me. Just hold on for. Do you hear that?
Oh yes.
And I sometimes will take it up and work with it, but it's amazing. It duplicates every sound of the human body, and
that's a good thing.
And
huh?
It's very difficult to use it and do it in good taste. However, I have succeeded, and I'm sure you have too.
Well, you know, anything you can do, you do, you touch, turns to gold and is in good taste. Anything that we should be looking for in the theaters?
Well, I'm waiting to find myself. I may be going into a scary movie number four, but
wow.
As happens with these things, you have to wait until you sign on the dotted line, because it's amazing how they can be things can be diverted so easily.
Really? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. You think that these are things are etched in steel, but you just wait, and the moment you have it, then you can talk about it.
Yeah, when the check's in the bank account.
That's it. That's it. Yeah.
Very good. Are you helping any organizations? I saw that you're doing a little something with Amnesty International. I saw a couple of things online. I'm not really sure what they were all about. Maybe you can inform me, enlighten me.
Well, I'm going to be doing a thing for the RCMP Foundation, that's the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, that has to deal with child safety in general. And so I'll be going up to Canada to do that. And incidentally, I'll be going to Regina, Saskatchewan, which is where I was born, and where I left to go to Fort Drummond in the early days of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a centennial celebration, and it will be attended, I believe, by the Queen of England and Prince Philip.
And you will be there.
And I'm going to be the master of ceremonies at the function. So.
Oh, wow, very
congratulations.
Exciting. Yeah. It's a good work if you can get it, I guess.
Yeah, you bet.
Well, we appreciate your time. We know it's very precious. And, you know, every few years we like checking in to see how you're doing. We appreciate you spending a little time with us this evening.
It is my pleasure. And so let's keep it up.
And thank you. You saved my job because I messed up this morning on the time thing.
Oh,
I
you didn't mess
the
up.
Time, so,
no
yeah.
problem.
Well, it was a problem to my boss. He said, if you don't get this interview with Leslie, you know, things are going to happen around here. So.
Oh,
you saved my job.
I'm very low maintenance. what is that phrase? Ease up. What is that the actual wording? Take it easy or don't catch or whatever.
Well, that's your whole life, is you've been a comedian your whole life and you've laughed at everything. And so if you can teach us a little of that, we can walk away with being able to laugh at it. All is good.
You bet. You
Leslie
bet.
Nielsen, thank you so much. There's more Animal Radio on the way. Stick around.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
We have time to go to the phones?
Yes, we do. Let's get a phone call.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so screwed up with the times here. We still have time for a phone call at 1-866-405-8405. Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Catherine Beasley in Fort Smith with Pet Save and Animal Rescue.
Well, hello.
Oh, in Arkansas?
Yes, in Arkansas.
Very good. Are you listening on the radio or on the internet?
I was listening on the internet.
Okay.
And you have a question?
Yes, actually, I was calling about a comment that I heard that somebody suggested to put a hot pepper out to deter animals like cats.
Oh, that was you, Judy.
That was me. I'm the guilty one.
That's all right.
That was somebody had called in and asked how they keep the cats from
out
digging
the garden.
Right.
Yes,
and you had said cayenne pepper,
which I at the time
thought, wow, that's...
Yeah, I hear that very much.
And that's incorrect?
Well, I wouldn't say incorrect. It may or may not work. It is dangerous to the cats, however. It burns their paws, and, you know, anything that they get on their paws, they also leak off.
Uh-oh.
And so they get it into their mouth and their tender lips and tongue and their noses.
What would be a good alternative?
A good alternative for people that have a lot of problems with feral cats is to put chicken wire down. they don't dig through chicken wire. You can put it down and with just, I mean, a light covering of bark or something.
Very good. I didn't think about that.
But no. They don't like digging through that.
Now, what
it
about
works really better than most of the chemical deterrents.
What about my suggestion about citrus peels?
Some cats don't like it. With dogs, I don't think it will work very well. One of my dogs eats them. But with cats, it might work. I've never tried it.
Your dog likes oranges or lemons?
Oddly enough, oranges, yes.
Hey, Mom, make me some orange juice this morning. Well, we appreciate you calling in with your comments. You're at a sanctuary in Fort Smith?
We have a rescue.
What is your rescue? Go ahead and give them a plug.
That is Pets Haven Animal Rescue.
Do they have a website?
Yes, we do.
What is the website?
Petshaven.com. That's pets-haven.com.
Well, we thank you for calling in today, Ms. Beasley.
And
thank
I will
you.
Be very careful in my answers and my responses, and please
keep
us in check anytime.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
The number is 1-866-405-8405. It is toll-free, and you're there to correct us at any time that you want. Now, if it's simply a matter of calling in to correct us because we said something wrong, well, you know, don't waste your time. I mean, we're not perfect.
Well, speak for yourself.
We're only
over
human.
There. Yes. We make mistakes every once in a while.
We're not like animals.
We are testing our audience. That audience listener did very good. A+ for her.
Yeah. We give her something, but I already sent her away without giving her something. Tell her, Kat, if you're listening, call back and we'll give you something for correcting us and making us feel like worthless. You know, they never call when you say something right.
No, they don't.
They don't,
do they? No, but I'm sure we'll be hearing from her again.
Coming up, details about the mega adoption. That's happening June 25th in Los Angeles. Also, I want to welcome Animal Planet affiliates, old Animal Planet listeners to Animal Radio. We got something for you. And I also want to tell you about the website. More details on the website, animalradio.com. Archives of old shows if you missed Dr. Kevin Fitzgerald last weekend. You can listen to it. 1-866-405-8405. Boy, that number was said so fast, I could never remember it. 1-866-405-8405. And we'll be definitely going back to the phones in just a few minutes. Also talking to Darlene from Crufts in the UK. I don't know what's going on over there, but we'll find out in just a couple of minutes. Stick around.
No More Mortgage is completely different than any other debt management company you've ever heard of. Their homeowners debt elimination program eliminates all of your debt, including your mortgage, in about 9 years, with no increase in your monthly payments. This is not a debt management program that will damage your good credit. It is a proven program that eliminates your auto loans, credit card debt, and your mortgage payment faster than you ever dreamed possible. If you're a homeowner with $10,000 or more in non-mortgage debt, find out what No More Mortgage can do for you. It won't cost you a penny more. So call this number right now.
800-311-2852. That's 800-311-2852. For a free analysis showing how much you can save and how soon you can be debt-free, call now. 800-311-2852. 800-311-2852. That's 800-311-2852.
You say you're thinking about cloning? You also say that you're an animal lover. Well, you can't be both. Do you know that many multiple animals have to be killed to make one clone? So, if you truly are an animal lover, you'll give a homeless animal a home. Visit www.nopetcloning.org to learn more.
It's Animal Radio on a beautiful sunny day. 1-866-405-8405. I ain't gonna mess it up this weekend.
Darn it! I'm gonna switch the numbers around and see if you can catch it.
You can't confuse me
anymore. Oh, yes, I could.
I already got the. Think if I'm confused, the listener's confused. Hi, who's this?
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
Jan.
How are you doing, Jan?
Hanging in there, babe. Hanging in there.
Hanging in there. Where are you calling from?
South Lake Tahoe.
Listening on KOWL, huh?
You bet your booties.
Hi, Jan.
Hello. nice to hear your voices.
You too.
Thank you.
So how are you doing today? What's on your mind?
Well, Miss Pie Lafitte, she's about a year old, Lopso-opso.
Uh-huh.
And I have, half a dozen or a dozen, more like a dozen, half whiskey barrels full of soil, and I put plants in them in the spring, but Miss Pie goes out in the snow and jumps into the whiskey barrels, comes in all mud.
Oh, no.
And she's eating some of the dirt, and I never had a dog eat dirt before, but I've never had a dog like her before either.
How much dirt is she eating?
I don't know. She just noses around in it, and I see her eating. And, like I say, she comes in her feet all muddy, and I just had all the carpets cleaned.
Yeah. Is she eating her regular food, too?
Oh, yes.
Okay. And is she just starting to eat dirt?
Yes, because the snow's gone off the tops.
Yeah, this is the first time you've seen her do it, huh?
Yeah, uh-huh.
And has anything changed in her food diet?
No.
And can you tell me about how much dirt you think she's eating?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe she just smells something in the dirt that smells good to her, and so she...
Yeah, well, it's actually been known to happen.
It's called pica.
Pica, is that it?
It's pica when they eat rocks and dirt and...
Sometimes feces.
Yeah, sometimes even feces.
Well, she doesn't do that, and no rocks.
Well,
it's just, there's no rocks in the barrels.
Yeah.
And dirt.
It's really unknown why they do that. Sometimes they think it's out of boredom. Or...
Well, this is sack dirt, I get.
What kind of dirt? Sack dirt? What is sack dirt?
Well, I have them bring me usually half a dozen big sacks of dirt.
Yeah.
It's all sealed off, you know. It's pure, it's better dirt for plants.
So there's probably a little bit of fertilizer in it.
It's probably, I don't know what they've got in it.
Yeah, that probably has a lot to do with it. As long as she's not eating a lot of it, you shouldn't be too concerned. As it does happen, it is fairly common.
It is fairly common. There's really no known reason why dogs do this. If she is ingesting a lot of the soil or
rocks. No, she's not.
Okay. If it's a small amount, it's really no concern.
Okay.
Like I said, a lot of dogs do this, but if you feel she's getting a little too much, you might want to take her to the vet and have him check her over and make sure she's okay.
Now, as far as dragging the dirt in the house, that's a whole different thing.
On her feet.
Yeah.
No, she has to walk across some snow before she gets here, so it's not quite as bad as it could be.
Now, that's a fairly snowy part of the country. You have a lot of snow right now still?
Oh, yes. Well, no, it's going down. It's only about half a foot high now.
What would you say the temperature is there in South Lake Tahoe today?
In the 60s.
In the 60s.
Well, that's not too bad.
No, it isn't. Very nice. Okay, well, you know what? We're going to send you a special package for just calling in for... What was her name again?
Miss Pie.
Miss Pie.
And P-I with a straight line over the I.
Yeah. I'm afraid to ask how she got her name.
Miss Pie Lafitte.
Yeah, Miss Pie Lafitte. We're going to send her a little package for listening to Animal Radio, okay?
And she got her name because I'm a nutty gal.
Yeah, you sound like a nutty gal, and that's how we prefer them.
Yes.
So, hold on a second.
If I couldn't laugh, honey, you might as well dig me a hole.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, that's how you get through life. You need to be able to laugh. Hold on a second, Jan, okay?
Okay, Cookie.
Oh, I love our callers. 1-866-405-8405. We'll go back to the phones in just a few minutes. Two down, one to go next hour. Darlene Arden. Also...
Live from Crufts.
Yeah, in England.
How exciting. Gosh, she gets to go to all these great places.
If you're leaving us now, remember, if you get an animal this week, spay and neuter it. And remember, don't buy an animal. Adopt from a shelter. Even the hard-to-get breeds, you can get them at the shelter.
There are special breed adoptions out there. You can get a specific breed or just a plain old nice
Heinz 57.
Which is fine, because sometimes they turn out to be the best.
Yes, they have less problems, actually.
But there's some people feel that you need to get, you need to go to a breeder to get, like, a particular breed. You can find rescue shelters that have the breed that you're looking for. So spay and neuter, and don't buy, but adopt an animal. We hope you're sticking around for next hour. If not, we'll see you next week right here on Animal Radio Network. Thanks for joining us.
The cloning industry wants you to believe that for $50,000, you can buy an animal that looks like your old pet and acts like your old pet. The greatest tribute you can give your old pet would be saving the life of a cat or dog who doesn't have a home. Get the facts. Don't be duped. Don't clone. Learn more at www.nopetcloning.org.
We're back?
Yes, we're back.
I know, another hour. This is great.
Believe it or not. And I got some mail that I wanted to share with you really fast.
Okay.
And you can email us at
your voice.
I'm sorry, your voice at animalradio.com. Don't laugh like that.
I'm sorry.
Your voice at animalradio.com. Someone writes, I heard the pet cloning story you ran the other week and the caller you took in response to the story. The point was raised that you can find a companion animal that looks like your deceased pet at a shelter.
There you go.
And to demonstrate that, you said that by the way, to demonstrate the very thing, if you go to nopetcloning.org, www.nopetcloning.org/overpop, that's overpop.shtml, and of course I don't expect you to remember this right now. You can go to the animalradio.com website. We'll put a link from there. Anyway, you can find an animal that looks exactly like the animal that just passed away, perhaps.
Your chances are better of finding one that looks more like your animal.
It's uncanny if you go over there and you see that it just looks really, really strange to find all these animals that look so strangely like yours. Anyway, you know who we have on the phone? I believe we have Darlene Arden. Hi, Darlene. How are you doing?
To us live from
Hi, Cal.
You're coming to us live from Crufts?
Well, I was supposed to be coming from you live to you from live from Crufts. However, not exactly. I'm in New England, and they took us off the plane. We had hurricane-force winds. I ended up spending the night at Logan Airport, freezing. They had the air conditioning on. Wasn't that thoughtful of them?
In the snow?
No blanket. In the snow. There was a lot. You mean you didn't hear me whimpering all the way across country?
No. What? A flight was canceled?
Every flight was canceled. I tried to get through JFK in New York to get to London. Couldn't do it. Then I was on a flight from Boston to London, and we were next in line to back out and get to the runway, and they were de-icing the plane and de-icing the runway, and they said, sorry, airport's closed.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
That's not good.
It was a nightmare. Well, however, when they told us the conditions, we were just as happy they didn't take off.
Yeah, I would prefer that you didn't. What is Crufts? Tell us all what Crufts is all about.
Crufts is the world's largest dog show. It has, in fact, made the Guinness Book of Records. But what makes it really different from any other dog show is that beyond all of the confirmation showing and the obedience showing, which you would find in any show except Westminster, which is strictly confirmation, they have, in 5 show halls, each one the size of Madison Square Garden, absolutely every possible dog event, dog demonstration, anything and everything to do with dogs over the course of 4 days. And it's like a trade show with a dog show in it. There are vendors and dog people there from all around the world, literally.
Well, I'm sorry that you didn't get to go, but next year you'll report from there?
I do have a report for you. I was there 2 years ago, and I have a small report for you, but it's something that'll be fun for the people on this side of the pond.
Okay, well, go ahead and start.
Well, do you remember that wonderful little Norfolk Terrier named Coco who won the Yukonuba against the Yukonuba?
How could we forget?
Yes.
It's the adorable little dog, and this year she won the group at the Terrier group at Westminster, and I was rooting for her to win Best in Show. Nothing against Cassie. Cassie's lovely. But I am crazy about little Coco, who is a Norfolk Terrier in her prime, who was bred in England,
yes,
is handled here by Beth Swigert. Well, guess who won the Terrier group at Crufts?
Coco!
Coco!
Very good.
Coco, champion cracknor, is cause celeb, and I'd say it's a cause celeb. So So I'm just sorry I wasn't there to cheer her on and jump up and down, but I had to kind of do that at home. A friend called from the UK.
Now, was this on TV, or you had a friend call, you said?
I had a friend call me. It's not. It will ultimately be televised, but the only way to get a live report is to go either to their website at the at Crofts, and you go through the Kennel Club in England, which is the Kennel Club, as if there were no other in the world. And indeed, hey, once you've been to one of their shows, it's amazing.
Someday.
Oh, you really have to do that. I want to go back so badly. I'm so sorry I missed that. It's so depressing. I feel like a little kid whose ice cream cone was stolen from her and then squashed under a dirty boot by someone deliberately.
Well, it's almost the same thing.
It really is.
Pretty much.
It pretty much is, because that is so amazing. They have demonstrations of service dogs. They have heel work to music, which is our canine musical freestyle. There's confirmation, there's obedience, there's agility. They do things we haven't even seen. They have all kinds of amazing dog displays, and they have something called Discovered Dogs, which the AKC is doing in a smaller version at their Yukonuba National. But they have every possible breed of dog set up in a booth, and it's all decorated like their native country. They have a dog there and sometimes puppies that you can meet, and members of the breed club to explain about the breed, and they hand out literature, and you can learn about dogs that we've never even heard about.
How exciting. Well, I feel bummed for you.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you what we have coming up, because we have a couple of events. Unfortunately, you won't be there to participate, but we have, although there will be some that you will be.
Cool.
We have the Mega Adoption coming up June 25th, and we still don't know the location of that, but it's in Los Angeles, and it's going to be about 400 animals finding homes that day, 60 different shelters participating in that. So you want to mark your calendar.
Mark your calendar. We're very excited.
Oh, I'd love to be there.
We're also broadcasting from Denver. When is that?
Denver,
3 weeks?
On April 2nd. That's actually, yeah, that is, 3 weeks away. We're kicking off the Pet Friendly America tour with a stop in Denver.
And if you want to find out more information about that, you could go to animalradio.com as the details become available. Also, Darlene, this is very exciting. We want to welcome all the Animal Planet affiliates. Apparently, Animal Planet has, their radio show has gone
closed
south.
Its doors, yes.
And in transition, we have picked up all the stations, so we want to welcome all Animal Planet affiliates. We hope you enjoy the show. If you want to call us, 1-866-405-8405 is the number. And the website, if you're new to the show, is animalradio.com. We have archives of old shows, like we had Dr. Kevin Fitzgerald on last week. Have you ever met him, Darlene?
No, actually we haven't. We've been like ships that pass in the night at veterinary conventions, and he was following me around quite literally.
Lucky
saying,
you.
If I turned around, he would have, you know,
yeah,
fallen over me.
Judy has a little crush on him, but we won't
well,
go
he's
there.
He's not bad looking. He's just not my type, but that's okay.
No
offense
to
Dr. Kevin Fitzgerald.
Darlene, we will talk to you next week, if
I'll
that's okay.
I look forward to it, because I have a fabulous book recommendation for everyone.
Okay, what book recommendation are we going to hear next week?
We are going to hear about the Cotswold Porthole, because that's what happens when you get stuck in a blizzard. Or for you people who are so lucky you have sunshine and keep emailing me to say, it's 80 degrees here, but we don't want to make you feel badly. Oh, no, sure you don't. Here's a great book to read, and I can't wait to tell everyone all about it next week.
We look forward to it.
Thanks, Darlene. We'll talk to you a little later, okay?
Thanks, Hal. Thanks, Judy.
Bye-bye, Darlene.
And welcome to all those people who are listening on Animal Planet Radio's former stations.
Well, thank you. Okay, for the love of bunnies, we've been talking about it, or apparently we haven't been talking about it enough. Apparently we want more bunny talk. That's what the email says, more bunny talk.
More bunny talk.
Bunny, bunny, bunny.
You're a funny bunny.
Funny bunny bunny.
You're a funny bunny.
Funny bunny bunny.
Funny bunny.
We're calling a bunny expert. Because Easter's around the corner. And bunnies and Easter's seem to go hand in hand somehow. She's putting her fingers down into the number, pressing the keypads.
Yes.
Apparently there was somebody already on the line.
I'm laughing because I was just calling you.
Oh, well, let's switch this over.
He's switching the phone over.
What a pretty name you got there.
What'd you say?
What a pretty name and an unusual spelling of it.
Why, thank you.
Your website's goodgirlgoods.com.
Goodgirlgoods.com.
Where you have stylish organic teas, among other things. and 20% of revenue from the tea support rabbit organizations in the Bay Area. Is that correct?
Actually, all over the country.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and some of your, I mean, lots of your affiliate cities. Basically, a lot of your listeners, if they look up a rabbit organization on the House Rabbit Society website, they'll find one close to them.
So you're a big rabbit fan, big rabbit lover, huh?
I am.
And Easter's, I don't know, why is it that Easter is correlated with rabbits?
You know, it does, there's some mythological explanation that I don't quite have a handle on.
Okay, well, I know the Easter Bunny's supposed to come around and
exactly.
drop off Porsches and BMWs. And
if you're really lucky.
Yeah, if you live in the right neighborhood, right.
It would be really hard to hide one of those behind a bush.
That's okay.
So, and then there's the whole egg thing, because I don't understand that either. What
rabbits have to do with eggs.
Rabbits don't procreate using eggs, as far as I know, they're mammals. But in any case, that's off the beaten path there. There's a big population boost this time of year?
Yeah, it's a time of year when I think a lot of us associate Easter with children holding cute little fuzzy bunnies. And so a lot of parents and aunts and uncles and grandparents will go out and buy baby bunnies for kids. And it's just not a good idea.
And why is that?
It's because rabbits really don't love to be held. They feel really insecure being held and restrained. A lot of bunnies aren't really that cuddly. There are some that are, but many aren't. And they're actually pets that require a lot of care. They require as much care as a dog or a cat. And when people realize this, a lot of bunnies end up being abandoned.
And they not only become abandoned, but meet up with other bunnies, and the population increases rapidly.
That is absolutely right. If people don't get their bunnies spayed or neutered, not only do they have more behavior problems that make them less ideal pets, but they also have the potential to multiply.
Yeah, not a lot of people know that you can get them spayed and neutered.
Absolutely. There, again, the House Rabbit Society website has a lot of resources, a lot of vet resources, and there are many, many vets who do spay and neutering of bunnies.
Now, you said that some bunnies don't like to be held. Is that just a particular bunny, or is that a certain breed? I know there's different varieties of bunnies. Is there a breed that is more social with humans?
I think that I've read that the New Zealand bunnies are much more cuddly.
Uh-huh.
But most of the bunnies I've known have been, quote, mutt bunnies, you know, because they're abandoned bunnies or bunnies that have reproduced as a result of not being fixed.
You know, I'm guilty. I did that when my kids were little. I went out and got each of my children a little rabbit for Easter.
Oh,
and,
my.
Yeah, I know, guilty.
Well, what is that? And then baby chicks, too.
And,
there seems
yeah.
to be an association, too, and the baby chicks get sold this time of year.
That's true. So
eventually there is a time that you may decide to have a bunny in your life and makes a good pet, yeah?
Absolutely, and they make wonderful pets. People don't realize, first of all, that bunnies can be litter trained.
Amazing.
It's amazing. And they make really great indoor pets. It's just that you really need to be prepared. It's very important to bunny-proof your house.
Because they eat anything, huh?
They're big chewers, you know. It's what they do. They love to chew. They love to dig. And so they need a lot of stimulation. And with the right amount of stimulation and the right amount of space, they make wonderful, wonderful pets. They have totally distinct personalities. I think a lot of us are used to seeing them, you know, trapped in hutches in the backyard and just think there's really nothing to them, but they really are distinct, unique animals.
And you let them roam around freely in the house so you don't have to have a cage or a hutch in the backyard?
No, actually, it's really best not to leave bunnies in the backyard because they easily have heart attacks just from being in the presence of a predator. So if a raccoon or a coyote or a dog is in the area, they might just get really scared and die in the hutch. So it's better for them to be indoors, and they can do what's called pen living, where they have a litter box and they just kind of roam around in their own little pen. They can have condos. There are lots of great bunny condos on the market now where they have a couple of stories to climb up and down in. And then when their humans are around, they can run around the house. So there's a lot of potential for interaction as opposed to just, you know, sitting in the backyard in a little cage.
So they're not good for young kids, is that correct?
I would say they're really, really not. I mean, they just...
An older, responsible child.
Exactly. If your child is ready for a pet and you've determined that a bunny will fit well into your life, then I think a much older, responsible child is a better bet.
A big misnomer, I understand, is that carrots are not that good for them.
Well, carrots, I mean, they enjoy carrots, but they aren't the main part of their diet. They need lots and lots of fresh veggies, and they also need a lot of hay and pellets, actually. A lot of people will just kind of throw some carrots and pellets in a cage, but pellets should be given in moderation because they have really high fat content.
Okay.
You get a fat bunny.
If you wanted to learn a little more about this, where can we go?
Well, you can go to the House Rabbit Society website, which is easy to remember. It's just www.rabbit.org.
Okay. And we'll put a link from animalradio.com, which is a longer URL to remember than just rabbit.org. But just in case you forgot. Okay, and where else?
Well, our website at goodgirlgoods.com/bunny, we're featuring 100% organic bunny teas. And 20% of the revenue from each tea goes to the rabbit rescue organization of the Shopper's Choice.
Well, let's sell some of those. What do they look like?
They have you have a choice of two different styles. Both are bunnies, cute bunnies with a thought bubble, and one thought bubble says "Bunnies on my mind," and then the second style is a bunny with a blank thought bubble. Just kind of a, who knows what the bunny's thinking.
Yeah. www.goodgirlgoods.com/bunny, and we'll put a link again from animalradio.com. And I understand that we have some giveaways. Judy is flagging me down.
Yes, we absolutely do.
We have 5 of the extra large women's tees to give away.
Okay, so that's 4 people out there. We're giving away 4.
Well, now I feel as a guy, I feel, I don't know.
I'll share my T-shirt with you.
Okay, 1-866-405-8405. While you're wearing it, or I'm just wondering, 1-866-405-8405. If you want to pick up on one of these shirts, if you'd like to purchase it, 20% of your purchase goes to support rabbit organizations across the country. The website www.goodgirlgoods.com/bunny, and again, we'll put a link from animalradio.com.
And to all our listeners out there, don't run out and get rabbits for your children this Easter. If your children are older and ready for it, then think about it, prepare yourself, and always spay and neuter your rabbit.
And start off with a cactus. Really, I think we should make the cactus the Easter animal.
The Easter cactus?
Yeah, the Easter cactus is coming by this year. Thank you so much, Cayenne. Hold on 1 second. There's more Animal Radio right around the corner.
Thank you.
This is Animal Radio
Network. Welcome to Voice of the Animal. Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered weak and weary. With these opening lines of The Raven, Edgar Allan Poe paved the way for generations of schoolchildren to forevermore fear the raven as a dark and sinister presence, one that might come and tap on their window one bleak winter's night. What Poe was really tapping into was Raven's role in mythological lore as the harbinger of death and destruction. Babd and the Morrigan, war goddesses of the ancient Celts, were said to have appeared on the battlefield as ravens. Ravens represented the death aspect of the goddess, the force of destruction that is necessary to the continuation of life. Raven women appear throughout Irish literature as a gift of the goddess to the Druids, bestowing upon them their raven knowledge, the ability to see beyond the veil of death, as well as to descend to the depths of shadow and emerge reborn. One reason Raven is found in Celtic healing sanctuaries. The Inuit believe Raven came from the primordial darkness to teach the first humans how to survive. Raven's iridescent black colors signify the mysterious void from whence all knowledge occurs. In alchemy, Raven represents change and the advanced soul dying to this world, an association extended to witchcraft and sorcery, but it is not of evil, as black is merely all the colors blended together. Therefore, Raven is the bringer of magic and mystery. Poe chose to highlight Raven's shadow side. However, since all shadow must be cast by a light, Raven too has stories that shine. Raven was sacred to Apollo, god of light. Some say that King Arthur became a raven after his death, the reason why in Somerset tradition maintains that one doffed their hat to the raven out of respect for the once and future king. The Norse god Odin had two faithful ravens that perched upon his shoulders. They spent their days traveling the earth and returning each evening to whisper to Odin everything they had seen and heard. It was Raven who brought fire to humankind. When the twins of Native American myth gave man the gift of fire, man promptly lost it. Raven was the only animal that would agree to help steal the torch of fire back from the twins. To ensure his success, Raven disguised himself by covering his feathers with ashes. Thus his plumage forevermore blends with the ebony night sky. Another story from Vietnam tells of how Raven and Peacock were great friends who one day decided to entertain themselves by painting each other's feathers. Raven used so many beautiful colors on his friend Peacock that he was left with only black for himself. To the Eskimos, Raven's cry meant a deerskin blanket. Raven was reminding the people to bring their blankets with them when they moved. A favorite story of Raven concerns the famous king of Celtic myth, Bran the Blessed, who had commanded his followers that when he passed on, his head was to be buried under the White Mount facing France, where as long as it stayed concealed, no plague could come across the sea to the island. The name Bran means raven, and it came to be that the Tower of London was built on the burial place of Bran's head, the White Mount. Over time, the ancient power of Bran, raven, was transferred to the actual presence of ravens in the tower. When the tower was bombed in World War II, the ravens flew away. Winston Churchill, who knew a thing or two about the ancient druidic legacy of his homeland, immediately ordered their replacement, thus ensuring the continued protection of England. Today, seven ravens live at the tower, all under the care of a gentleman with the prestigious title of Raven Master. Once one hears of Raven's gift of fire and magic, and even of his reminder not to forget the blankets, should there be any reason left to fear him? Nevermore. For Voice of the Animal, this is Rayanne Cumulos.
This is Animal Radio
Network.
I am Raven Master.
Oh, right. And then you expect the audience to believe that.
Rayanne Cumulos, thank you so much for reporting from New Mexico this week. Once again, I just got a call at 1-866-405-8405.
You did?
Yes, about the mega adoption. That's in Los Angeles, June 25th. Details on the location. They were asking, I missed the location.
Where is it?
It's all about location.
It's a secret super hideaway location. We can't reveal it.
Remember, location, location, location. By the way, I coined that phrase. It used to be just location, location, but
so you add the third location.
I add third location.
Okay.
Right there. Also, we'll be in Denver in just a few weeks, April 2nd. Details about that and how you can hook up with us. We'll have some special guests. It's part of the Pet Friendly America Tour. We're going to find all the pet friendly places in America.
All over the United States. Is your town one?
One of those pet friendly places. Well, we'll be around Denver, Boulder, as we know, is one of the big places. Also, I wanted to tell you this week we've added archives to the website of old shows. So if you want to hear Dr. Kevin Fitzgerald or Gary Berghoff or Ed Asner from last week and the week before and the week before that.
And the week before that.
You can head on over to animalradio.com is the website. I was actually listening to Fitzgerald this morning. Very funny guy. Also an
great
eligible
interview.
Bachelor.
Still.
1-866-405 is our phone numbers. We promise we'll go back to the phones. Also, next week we're going to be talking with Dr. Cass Ingram, very funny guy, about mad cow disease.
He sounded a little mad himself.
Yes, he does. Not a very fun subject, but he makes it kind of entertaining.
Yes.
If I might say so. Also, Dusty Rainbolt, this is really her name. Dusty Rainbolt wrote a book called Kittens for Dummies. We'll give away a few as well as have her on the show next week, as well as the Dog Bark Park Inn.
Woo-hoo.
Really weird hotel. That's all coming up on Animal Radio Network.
Did you know that cloning your beloved pet doesn't mean you'll get two furry friends? In fact, chances of successfully cloning your pet is 0.04%. And if it worked, chances are your new friend would have cloning-related health problems. The cloning industry wants you to believe that for $50,000, you can duplicate your pet. Who's duping who? Don't be duped. Don't clone. Learn more at www.nopetcloning.org.
new Animal Radio Network studios. Not very ergonomically designed. I'm bent over. It's like Twister. It's like does it feel like we're playing Twister, Judy?
Yeah, I'm playing wires. You know, wires all over. I need to tape this.
They've moved this into the closet, ladies and gentlemen. They've moved this into the broom closet. We actually had our own studios. And then they said, hey, the show's doing good. We're making a lot of money. But we could do it with no overhead if we just put those two morons.
One moron, speak for yourself.
In the broom closet. You know what I mean? Who are we calling?
We are calling Dr. Stephen Zicker of Hill's Pet Nutrition.
It's the doctor line.
Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Not available. I'm getting a voicemail for his cell.
Is that because we're too late?
Yes. Calling what time is it now?
Is she going to blame this on...
What time is it now, please?
So, we're 10 minutes late.
So, he's probably on his cell calling, trying to figure out where I am. So, let me try again.
Okay. Looks like the Jerry Lewis telethon up here. Bent over the new studio board. Easier access for the management here. No response from him? I'm getting the evil eye.
No.
I've done nothing but bad for the last week here at Animal Radio Network.
Well, you're a man. That says it all. Do men ever do any good?
Yeah. Sometimes they do.
Yeah, you didn't sound too sure of yourself.
Who are we talking to in a few minutes?
Skip Haines, the CEO of record label in Los Angeles called the Laurel Ant... The Laurel Canyon Animal Company. And he's got a CD for pets.
But it's really for pets. It's not like for the listener. It's for pets. It's been designed for pets.
Well, you can enjoy it and listen along.
So, what you're supposed to do is go get your dog and your cat right now and bring them to the radio. Because in a few minutes, we'll be playing music that will make them react. Dr. Zucker?
Zicker.
Zicker.
Yes, I'm still here.
Good.
Oh, you guys sound really distant now, so...
Oh, that's actually how we sound in person. You know, you're standing right in front of us. This is actually how we sound.
Okay.
It's a DJ thing.
Yeah, it is. Where are we calling you today?
In Topeka, Kansas.
And you practice, you have a practice there, is that correct?
I'm not in practice anymore. I practice in Colorado Springs, but I've been working for Hill's Pet Nutrition for 8 years now as a research nutritionist.
So you're on the road.
Yes.
Okay. Well, as many as 1.5 million dogs a year put to sleep or removed from home, sent to animal shelters because of behavior problems. And some of these behavior problems can be caused by, believe it or not, diet. And we have Dr. Zegard to talk with us today about diet in your animals. What have you learned?
Well, what we've learned with our studies and stuff is just one slight correction on your initial statement is a lot of those animals that are put to sleep because of behavioral issues, it's not necessarily attributable to diet, it's just a behavioral issue. But what we've looked at is aging dogs, and several aging dogs, as they get older, develop behavioral issues much as aging parents do. So they have signs of disorientation, decreased interaction with their owner, sleep-wake pattern disruptions, and eventually they start to house soil because they might be just disoriented and really not knowing where they're at, which is somewhat similar to people as they age. If you've ever had an aging parent with Alzheimer's or something like that, you know that they have less ability to take care of themselves in their social situation that they're in.
Difference being that the animals can't tell you that they're disoriented. It's you sort of have to look out for it.
Right. You have to be aware of the signs that they're showing, and you have to have a good enough relationship with your animal that you're aware of even subtle little changes that might occur. So, for instance, a dog that used to always stand at the right side of the door that opens now might stand on the wrong side of the door or get lost or disoriented in your house if you change the furniture around or something like that. So little things like that, and maybe just less active than they were before.
So the goal is to slow the aging process down. How can we do that, Doctor?
Right. Well, several things that this study showed, we are trying to collaborate with what they've been doing in the human side of research in this area. And the human side, definitely important for all of us, is to stay physically fit, stay mentally active, and eat a good diet full of fruits and vegetables. And what we did in this study is we looked at four groups of beagle dogs, and we had some that were enriched with their environment, with activity and extra behavioral interaction, and also another group that was enriched just with diet alone, which had antioxidants and fruits and vegetables in it, and then a group that had that combined as well, so the environmental enrichment and the antioxidants. And what we found was that those that were enriched with the food did very well, and those that were enriched with environmental enrichment did better than the controls also. But when you combine the two combined showed a synergistic effect where diet with enriched environment and, you know, having walks twice a week and having more toys to play with and more interaction with owners, or in this case the caretakers that were doing the testing, found that they did much better and slowed their cognitive aging, or how their brain aged as they got older.
Now, was there any reason that you used beagles in particular?
Those are kind of a standard model of what we can do with this type of testing. We do kind of Sesame Street testing.
What's that?
Yeah, I was wondering, what kind of cognitive testing can you do?
Well, if you remember, yeah, and you probably think that your dog only does, you know, not too much cognitively, but because some people just don't think that that happens, and it's really only...
Well, let me put it this way. He doesn't bring home a paycheck. A lot of love, but no paycheck.
Yeah, so. But if you think, you know, bomb-detecting dogs and things like that do
yes.
a lot of cognitive functions. But if your dog at home sees you getting up and you put on your work shoes and you put on your work clothes, it sits at the back door and it waves goodbye to you. It says, fine, you're going to work. If you put on your shoes that... say I'm taking the dog on a walk and you pick up the lead rope or the leash and you get to the door, the dog's up at the door ready to go, wagging its tail. It's made a cognitive discrimination there. So cognition is just how they perceive their environment, basically. And what we do is we take tests that have been developed in other species, also they use these in people, but if you can think of Sesame Street, you know, one of these objects is not like the other. We present the dogs with two or three objects, and they have to nudge the odd object out of the way to get a food reward. So basically, they're just looking and going, okay, that one's different than the others. I push it away, I get a food reward. And then we figure out how many mistakes they make to associate the food reward with the odd object.
Wow. How long does it take them to learn that game?
We do about 6 months of pre-training on these dogs. So we do kind of kindergarten doggy school up to elementary, and probably what they're up to now is collegiate level Sesame Street for dogs, if you can think of something.
So what should we be feeding our pets?
What should we be feeding our pets? Certainly a good quality food. The one that we developed obviously is better than some of the baseline food that we had used. We were using an older generation food that was out on the market 6 years ago, and we supplemented that with fruits and vegetables to about the equivalent of 5 servings of fruits and vegetables a day, and we added vitamin E and vitamin C and a couple other vitamins to that, the ones that, you know, you and I would go out and take in a supplement, and
mm-hmm.
we tried to follow what they tell us as people to eat 5 to 7 servings of fruits and vegetables a day. So when we apply that to dogs, we see a nice response.
What about the meow meows?
The cats?
Yeah.
We haven't done all of that testing in cats, so cats may not be motivated the same way as dogs are for food, but it's certainly something we're looking at, and cats are also nutritionally different from dogs, so we might have to look at a different mix of vitamins and fruits and vegetables, but we are certainly looking at that as a future project.
Very good. We're out of time, Dr. Stephen Zicker of Hills Pet Nutrition. We appreciate your time today.
Well, thanks so much, and it's been good talking to you.
Very good.
You.
We're going to go back to the phones in just a second. 1-866 405.
Oh, he forgot the number.
No, 405-8405. I was just
playing with you. You're testing me, right? Yes, yes.
You're listening to Animal Radio. You can learn more about today's guest at animalradio.com. Log on. Learn more.
Write that on your unk. There oh, by go. The way, someone just called at 1-866-405-8405 and said, what is the URL for that rabbit website, which is really not that hard. It's just rabbit.org.
Yeah, and I want to, we didn't talk much about adopting rabbits. If you're going to get a rabbit, please adopt.
Can you buy rabbits? I guess you can.
You
I guess
can.
You can go
yeah,
to PetSmart or Petco.
Yeah, pet stores and stuff have them. Or, you know, there's breeders, backyard breeders and stuff. But there's so many rabbits out there, believe it or not, just like cats and dogs.
It's the same situation.
Yeah,
right?
That are looking for homes. So there's plenty of rabbits. If you want to get a rabbit, please adopt.
And that's the same for cats and dogs.
Yes, adopt. There's so many animals out there looking for homes. There's no need to purchase anything.
A lot of people don't know that there's actually about 5 million animals that are put to sleep every year because they simply don't have a home.
Right.
It blows big chunks.
Yeah, it does.
And we're going to be trying to curb that with the mega adoption June 25th in Los Angeles. You'll want to write this on your schedule. The location hasn't been determined yet. We have a couple of possible locations. A couple of years ago, we did it in a big old park there.
Yeah, so we're trying to get some of those homeless animals, trying to find them a home.
We found homes for 400 animals.
This year, we want to find...
Year.
Yeah, we want to find
break
more.
Our record.
Yeah, there you go.
We have
to unite families and animals. It's such a good feeling.
And, you know, we mentioned one time about finding someone... You know, maybe of the opposite sex or somebody at these kind of functions because everybody's there for dogs. So.
Oh, what do you mean, like a dating, like
a dating thing, yeah,
meat market type of thing?
No, not like a meat market. But everybody out there will be there for the animals. So you never know what can happen at these kind of things.
At least a couple animals might find each other.
There you go.
Coming up in the next few minutes, we're going to be talking to Holly Counter Beaver.
You didn't. I was going to say you didn't laugh. You almost made it.
Why would I laugh at a name like that? Holly Counter Beaver. I don't know if she's married. That's a hyphenated name.
Probably.
Married Mr. Beaver.
Yes, I think she married a beaver.
Or Mr. Counter or something. How appropriate for Animal Radio. She's going to be talking about therapy for dogs.
Dog therapy?
Yeah, dog therapy. Rehab.
Rehab.
Well, you know, if your dog gets into the medication cabinets, there might be something started. No, this is about... physical rehab.
Yeah, physical therapy.
Like if your dog gets hit by a car.
Or just has to have surgery for one reason or another. Or sometimes even dogs suffer strokes, like people do.
She has a center in Englewood, Colorado.
How exciting.
And a website, and she'll talk to us about that in just a few minutes. And it's pretty cheap, too.
I hope that's one of the places that we can visit when we're there.
Oh, in Denver, the Pet Friendly America Tour starts... In, what is it, 2-3 weeks?
3 weeks.
April 1st and April 2nd.
April
2nd in Denver.
Yes.
And we're looking for the pet-friendliest places in America and all the pet-friendly products, pet-friendly hotels, and we'll report them to you. Because let's face it, pets are now part of the family.
And let us know if your city is pet-friendly.
Has that clock even moved at all? It seems like a clock's been stalling for the last 30 minutes.
No, it's moving. We're moving. Time's moving without us.
1-866-405-8405 is the number. 1-866-405-8405. And we'll go back to the phones in just a few minutes. You're listening to Animal Radio Network. Calling Holly Counter Beaver. On the Animal Radio Network.
Good morning, this is Holly.
Hi, Holly, Hal, and Judy from Animal Radio. How are you doing?
Hi, guys, I'm good. How are you doing?
Hi, Holly.
Very well, we're on the air.
Okay.
We're calling Englewood, Colorado, is that correct?
You're calling Evergreen, Colorado.
Evergreen, which is very nearby, both yes. Very beautiful places.
Yes.
And you have a doggy rehab center there. Now, when Judy first showed this to me, I was thinking, you know, do dogs really get hooked on drugs? Do they really need...
to go into rehab these days?
Yeah. Rehab and such. What
physical.
Kind of,
physical.
It's physical
mental,
therapy.
It's physical.
Okay. Now, well, what made you feel that there was a need for this, first of all?
Well, Marty Pease, our rehab practitioner, has been doing this for about 5 years. And what she does is she... sees dogs, and actually a cat who were either injured or recovering from surgery who maybe weren't making the progress that the owner or the vet wanted and maybe weren't responding to medication as desired. So they started applying human physical therapy techniques to dogs to help facilitate that process.
And is it working?
It's working great. We have all sorts of great case studies where, for example, there was a Weimaraner who had an infection to the spine and lost the use of her rear legs. And through work on a treadmill and hydrotherapy, she actually started to walk again and has returned to a normal life.
So you do both cats and dogs? Are there any other animals?
We do. At our clinic, we actually just focus on dogs, but we do support other veterinary hospitals that will do other animals like cats.
Okay, so you have a 6,000-foot square foot facility.
We do.
And there's a swimming pool?
There's a big doggy pool. It's
doggy
a 28
pool.
By 16 square foot dog pool.
And that is a good therapy we're finding, yes?
Yes, it's awesome. It's heated. And basically what it does is it takes, when a dog swims either in our underwater treadmill or our endless pool or in the rec pool, it takes the weight off their joints and the rest of their body so they can focus on using their muscles, and we can help them learn to use their muscles correctly again if necessary, but it's pain-free, or it's much less painful for them if they've had a problem. And we find that they are actually able to recover faster than if they were just walking or hiking or that kind of thing.
Now, you say a doggy pool. What is the difference between a regular swimming pool for humans and a doggy pool?
Well, we actually have a human swimming pool that only dogs are allowed into.
Okay.
And I think the water tastes different, too.
You know, I haven't experienced that yet, but I bet you're right. I'm not going with the straw over to the pool, let's put it that way.
How far do people travel?
Well, we've had people come all the way down from Fort Collins and all the way up from Pueblo and Colorado Springs. We are actually doing a presentation / working session with a vet group in Edmonds, which is Paso Vale, so it's pretty far into the mountains. So quite a distance, I'd say.
Well, I would imagine that there would be a great need for this kind of facility. It's very unique. I have not heard of anything like this anywhere else. You probably know of others.
There are some in California, and there's one, I believe, either in Tennessee or out east. But we're definitely unique in the area, and there are several animal hospitals or vet facilities that have hydrotherapy, like they might have an endless pool or a treadmill.
What's an endless pool?
An endless pool is I think it's like 4x6 container of water that's either above ground or below ground that has, it's like a hot tub. It has three jets on one end, and basically you place the dog in the pool and they swim against a controlled current with the help of a rehab practitioner.
And there are a lot of these practitioners, certified canine rehab practitioners, which I believe you are one, is that correct?
I'm not, but Marty Tease is.
Any thoughts of branching out or franchising or opening any more in that area or other areas?
Absolutely. We are actually working to partner with different vet groups so that if a vet facility wants to have canine rehab and conditioning at their facility, we can provide that service. We're also looking at expanding into other areas in the Front Range, and we definitely want to go into different states sometime in the near future.
Sounds like it might be kind of an expensive thing to do, and of course there's no insurance. What does something like this run?
You can actually get insurance for your animal. I'm not sure if rehab is covered. That's a great question. For the owner, the cost for the owner, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Dog swims, like rec swims, are $6 a dog with $5 for each additional dog in the household.
Well, that's not bad.
No, it's very reasonable.
Well, then we also have punch cards, and then you get a little discount going there, which is kind of fun. For the rehab, the initial visit is $75, and that covers an evaluation of the dog and their injury or whatever problem it is that's bringing them to us. The additional visits after that, I believe, are $30. And then the different service costs are different based on what kind of therapy you receive, whether it's hydrotherapy, ultrasound, electrical stimulation, massage, acupuncture, that kind of thing.
You offer all those services. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, we should check it out. We'll be in Denver, of course, for the Pet Friendly America tour in just a few weeks.
On April 2nd.
Yeah, we should check it out and see what it's all about.
We'd love to have you.
Okay, good.
And if you want to go swimming, we could probably arrange for that, too.
And bring our straws.
Bring your straws.
And the web address is www.dogswim.com.
Right, there's a dash between dog and swim, so it's dog-swim.
We'll also put a link from the animalradio.com website. Thanks so much for taking time to hang with us today.
Thank you, guys. We really appreciate it.
Holly Counter Beaver from the...
You laugh at your own name?
I do. How could you not?
Oh, good. I thought it was just us.
No. Oh, no.
I wasn't laughing at it.
No, there was a hint of humor in there, though.
Well, it all fits. It's an animal show. Thanks so much for joining us today. And for those of you that want more information, you can head on over to animalradio.com to get web links for anybody that you heard on the show today. I'll tell you that right now. We'll be back with more Animal Radio just around the corner. Stick around.
No, we won't. Thanks, guys.
Okay.
No.
This is it.
I know. We think we got another hour because we keep adding all these hours, but we reached the end.
The last 30 seconds, we want to thank Leslie Nielsen for joining us
today.
Thanks,
Leslie. Save
Next
my job.
Week, Mad Cow. We're talking about it with Cass Ingram, Dr. Cass Ingram. Also, the Dog Bark Park-In. Remember, during this whole week, you can visit us at animalradio.com. And if you get a pet this week, remember to spay and neuter your pet. Okay? Remember to adopt. Don't buy any pets.
Always
you can find
adopt.
Any kind of animal you want at any kind of breed rescue. Visit us at animalradio.com. We could give you more information. We'll see you next week. Have a great week.
Bye-bye.